I obey and I cast it. I do. I experienced that the other day, but don't get me. So I'll just stick to this land. But I don't know. This might have been. No, it's definitely before all this. Obviously, before all this, long before all this, I had, and Joshua just reminded me of something last night. When that was, that was during the, that was the, so it was before that even. So before your first courtship date night that you went with us, you and Jen. Because I took, just for fun, drove out to this land over here. We went on the date, okay. Mm-hmm. And we drove up there and walked out on this. Oh yeah, we got stuck in the mud in the truck. So it was memorable. But before that, I had been driving by this land on 61. I would drive by, and every time I drive by, I just look at that. I'm like, wow, I like that land, Lord. And it's for sale there. It's 12.75 acres, and I'd see this big hill there. Mm-hmm. You know, well, you all know what I'm talking about, right?
I've been trying to find out.
Okay, so it's before Sparksville Baptist and the Nazarene. It's before that. Felton Fudge Road. So you come down that, you go down that little, then you turn, you start coming up. It's that big hill on the right.
Yes.
That big green hill on the right. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'd be driving and I'd see that big hill and I'd look at that. Yeah, and I've had desires since long time in my walk with the Lord, desires to have some type of hill or some type of land that was next to a highway that people drive on, it and I could have banners on it or have something, because in San Jose, in California, there's this big hill and it's a big freeway, but the Altamont Pass to go from the Bay Area into the valley. You can go over this big hill and they got windmills all over because there's lots of wind in there. But there's lots of traffic, and on this one big hill, and everybody sees it. They go up this hill. There's this massive traffic. I drove it for many years when I commuted to Oakland, and it's just stopped traffic. And this big cross that someone, like, either they mowed it or they did plowed it into the hill. Okay, it's cut into the hill. Giant, huge hill, giant. But it's a cross, and it says Jesus saves. And they have lights on it. And it lights up at night.
I think I do remember seeing that.
If you drove the Altamont, then you probably did see it.
Yeah, I think I do remember seeing that. I remember saying, praise the Lord, I think I said that.
I drive that, and I would pray for whoever put that up there every time I drive. Bless that one, Lord. I thank you for that.
I think I do remember that.
And I would always think, man, I'd love to have a hill just to, you know, glorify the Lord, just to shine on it.
Yeah, and all the airplanes can see that at night.
Oh, yeah. It's just huge. Such a blessing. It's a blessing. He's magnified, and I know that's... I'm so thankful for the but I know that's residual heavenly income right there. That's what I look at it, man. That's residual laying up treasure in heaven right there.
It's just people were just stopped in traffic on the way.
You know, we're gonna have to ask about that when we on the new road. We're gonna ask the Lord. I just want to hear some testimony about that. Jesus saves.
Yeah.
What happened there? But so I drive by this hill here, and I drive by and I look at that. Man, that hill is nice. I like that hill, Lord. And so one time I didn't have any means, but I just took step faith. I just wanted to call and find out about the land, you know. And this was before I took you guys there. And called and asked how much it was and everything. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I can't do anything like that. So I just left it, you know. I just thought, well, if you're going to do something, Lord, then you could do that. But I can't do anything, so... but then time went on, and just last, I can't remember now. So
this was
about a month and a half ago, yeah. So about a month and a half ago, I'm driving by that again, and because I just kind of surrendered it. So I'm driving by it again, and I was really impressed again, like, I like that land again, Lord. I'm driving up there, I'm like, why am I, you know? Well, you know, the Lord had, we had been saving. And so, you know, still didn't think I would have means, you know. But I just called. And the guy I called, he said, I think it's sold. I prayed for him. I was like, Lord, you know, if this is something that you're doing, if you're doing something, then I'm just taking a step of faith, you know, if you're doing something. And he said, I think it's sold. And but call, he gave me a reloader to call and ask about it. And he's like, one, he's working in the office, you know. So I call, he's like, okay, well, I think it's set, but I'll just call. And she says, oh, no, that's a different place. It's still available. I was like, oh, okay. So I just, you know, took further steps. And I said, well, would they be, whoever owns it, would they be interested, would they consider doing like some type of deal and a contract, you know, land contract? And she said, well, let me call and find out and get some details. So she called back, and before she called back, I was praying. I was like, Lord, if it's you, just let me know for sure it's you. You know, just let me know. If there's something that you're doing, just let me know. I need to know it's from you, you know? Mm-hmm. And because, you know, we have certain amount saved, and it can't be, you know, obviously we can only do so much. And I had a certain number that I was going on, and I was thinking if and kind of in my heart I was thinking if it could be a deal like this, then this would be a good deal, you know. That's what I was thinking. And so she called back, and she said, it just floored me, because I know now it's the Lord, absolutely, you know, looking from where I'm standing now. Mm-hmm. But at that moment, I was thinking, wow, it's like, this is an open door. I'm definitely going to keep going. She said, well, the owner wants to, he wants to help somebody out with this land. And I was like, okay, that's good. Maybe he wants to help us out. Maybe the Lord wants to help us out. He wants to help us out, help somebody out. He's a pastor. I was like, that's interesting. So I'm thinking, this is something I don't know who he is yet, but
right.
He's a pastor, and he wants to help somebody out. And if it were you, you know, if he meets with you and he was comfortable and he found you trustworthy and have integrity, and he just wanted to kind of know who it is that he wants to help somebody out, he wants to meet with them. But if he does. If it is you, then she laid out these, what he would be willing to do. And it was like way underneath of what I was even thinking was the good deal. And I was like, wow, Lord. And even to where, she said, and you know, he has real convictions. He doesn't want to charge any interest.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, wow. I wasn't even thinking that. 0% interest. Because he doesn't believe in usury, you know. He doesn't want to. And I met with him. He's like, tell me, according to the Bible, you know. He's like, I can't charge interest, you know, on something, you know, and
especially a brother.
Yeah, especially a brother. Yeah, but he was convicted about that seriously, and so and then he said, and then what I said, that I, the number that I'm thinking, it was underneath that, and the amount per acre was way underneath what I was thinking was a good deal. I was thinking, Lord, because I know the Lord can give us good deals, right. You know? Yeah. And it was way beyond that. Mm-hmm. So to me, it was like, so I hadn't met with him. I said, well, I definitely would like to meet with him, you know, because I was in my heart, just had total peace that the Lord must be doing this. Yeah. Because the land was sitting there, you know, from the other time till now, the land's sitting there, and I'm thinking, God, the land's still there, you know. The Lord must have been holding it.
And it's not just
holding it.
It's not just the interest free. Is the reason why he wanted interest free. I mean, people could say interest free because they want to sell it quick,
right?
They want to get rid of it.
No,
he was saying interest free because of the Bible.
Yeah, because of the Bible. So we met with him and his wife, and he's a Methodist pastor, and sharing testimonies and things, and I believe he's a brother. I believe he's a brother. I have no reason to think he's not a brother. And so he really was encouraged just by knowing who I am, that I turned out to be a brother in the Lord, and had total peace. And to where he even did more deals on top of that, where, you know, he did it for 2 years when I was thinking 1 year contract. He said, I'll go 2. You know, everything he was wanting to do was
go
extra,
one mile, go two.
More,
that's what I was saying.
More than what
go
I said.
One mile, go two.
Yes, I was just like, wow, you know, I was just amazed. I was like, okay, this is you, Lord, this is you. And it's the answer to our, it's really just the answer to our prayers, you know. and the timing of that and everything, you know, for a separate meeting place and everything. And so here's the thing, you know, there's joy in this, and at the same time, there's sorrow about the events. But the timing of these things is no coincidence, because just the day after we meet and we have to make this decision with John, the very next day, it's almost symbolic, like the very next day I have a meeting where we're starting the project over there. So the very next day, it was yesterday morning, I had already had that set up, a meeting to lay it out and start the process, to survey kind of the area and lay it out and everything like that, and take the first step towards actually building there. So, and I say that to say, the Lord knows all of these things. You know, he knows this is, he knew this was going to happen. He's already caring for the fellowship. He's already caring. He's the head of it. He's the head of the church. He's caring for us before this care came about with John and this whole situation. The Lord had already been having this in place. And it's not to say that it had to go this way, because I think that the Lord's heart would be to, like you said, remove that from John having that at his home. And that would have been good for him. Yeah, it would have been good for him, to where he would be able to go to a separate place, separate meeting place, and not have it in his home. The temptation to control and different things like that would have been, that's ideal. That's
yeah, John, ideal. He could have joined, you know, he could have joined in the joy of the new land and the new building. He could have joined in the blessing of being part of it, you know, being, okay, now it's not going to be in my home anymore. I don't have to stress my family anymore. And he could have been rejoicing and joined in rejoicing over this. But instead, he went the other direction.
And you don't have the issues of, you know, there's different issues of even just practical issues of having something in your home a long period of time. You know, we've talked about that. Right. Scripture speaks about that. So we've been mindful of that. We've been prayerful. And the Lord has provided, period. And I think we sent an email out, you know, there's been provision, anonymous. I think that's anonymous, because, you know, I obviously am concerned about, I don't want any kind of anything being like attached to me. Like, you know, I don't want to have control over things and things like that. I don't want to be perceived wrongly. I just happen to be a vessel that God's able to use just to bring about something that he desires. That's it. And that's all.
Everything will come from the Lord.
But I'm looking forward to getting a banner, so I'm going to tell you something right now. So, I'm telling you, here's the thing. On that hill, we're going to do some big banners. So, Brother Kerrigan and I are going to work on this. Some big ones. And there's going to be three of them, okay? Big one. You're not gonna be able to miss it when you drive down that highway. You're gonna have some lighting on it, and that thing's gonna be shining. And it's gonna so there's gonna be three banners, boom, boom. And underneath each banner, there's gonna be a cross. Okay? There's gonna be a cross, not covering the banner, but kind of down the hill just a little bit underneath each one. So three crosses. And Brother Tracy brought this up to my attention, that it's really symbolic even of the work on the cross that the Lord did and the thieves that were there on the cross. Because you listen to the message that's going to be on the one on the left, sin will take you to hell, only Jesus can save you. Okay? In the middle, that's representative of the Lord. That first one's representative of the thief who didn't repent. Sin will take you to hell, only Jesus can save you. The one in the middle, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's representative of our Lord on that cross. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the one on the right represents the thief that repented. It says, let go of your sin, cry out to Jesus. So it really, and I didn't even see, I didn't think about that until Brother Tracy shared that. I didn't see that.
That's just like what happened.
Yeah. So that's going to shine bright on that hill, so we can rejoice in that. I do believe that's going to be fulfilled. and the building's going to be fulfilled. I do believe that's going to take place.
And you even have a formula to use to know how big the lettering should be to be able to be seen very well from a distance.
That's
so
cool.
So we're going to make sure the letterings are the right size, so they can see it as clearly as could be.
Yeah, that's going to be some residual eternal income.
Oh, yeah. Some of us want to say briefly, you know, we don't believe in tithing or anything like that, and the building and the land's being provided.
Yeah.
But as a church, we do need to keep the lights on.
Yeah. Something to start giving as much as you're able to.
Yeah, to keep the lights on. Keep the bills paid.
So the way it turns out, and you know, since we're talking about it, I feel freedom to talk about it. The way that it's going to be laid out actually is, it's not going to be quite. It's going to be big. It's going to be a 30 by 30. What it's going to be, the actual meeting area.
Okay.
Which I mapped that out. That's good. That's a good size.
Was it 30 times 30 is 900 square feet.
Yeah.
So just for the sanctuary.
Just for the sanctuary, just meeting place. So that's good size. That's good size. And the other half, what I'm going to do is the other half.
So 60 by 30 total.
60 by 30 total. The other half, the front half. So that's going to be the back half. The front half is going to be which is going to be used also for the fellowship uses. Okay, but it's going to contain the things that fellowship needs in this little home. Okay, so like. It's going to have two bedrooms and two baths, okay? So showers and a little kitchen area, things like that. And it's going to be in the little home in the front, which would be so that way if there's a need for someone to have a place to be at or something like that, that need could be met because we need to, the Lord tells us to meet urgent needs.
I'm glad you said two bedrooms. I was really thinking about that because one bedroom could be used for like babies who need to sleep.
Yeah.
But no disturbance.
Hey, there you
go. The element could be for like women who need to nurse their children during the service, so it's.
And we're going to put in intercom speakers so that the teaching can be heard from those rooms.
A little home there, and it's going to have a a door into the front, okay? So it'll be kind of separate from the back fellowship area, and a door to the front, and then the fellowship area will have a door going to the side, so you can go directly in there, okay? Cause so that we have meetings, they can always take place, our prayer meetings, if things don't need to be canceled or anything like that, that can happen. And the little home right here in the back, there'll be a door to go in and out into that little home area. And so specifically regarding that, Brother Vaughn, we want to offer that to you. We know that you're in a situation, offer that area for you and your family. To be at, even if it was temporary or whatever, just want to let you know that's going to be. I mean, it's not built right now, but we're starting down the process.
It could take anywhere from like 2 to 3 months.
Yeah, depending on the weather and things like that. I'm hoping sometime in August. Maybe, best case scenario, the whole thing could be done in like 4 weeks if there was all good weather. We haven't started that actual, we started, but the actual, I mean, once you start actually building and things, yeah. So, but I just, want to extend that to you. I think that the Lord wants to extend that to you and to your family so that you can know that, Yeah. So, so it'd kind of be a stewardship as well.
Yeah.
Kind of be a stewardship as well. And of course, when the fellowship meets and things, then we would need to have access to the facilities.
Yeah.
The fellowship would need to have access to the facilities, to the restrooms, to the kitchen, to the things like that. So that way we can have our meeting and we can have meals and things like that. So that would be that. And then, as a temporary place, it's not like 30 days and you're out kind of thing or anything like that. There's different possibilities. There's possibilities of with that land. There's different possibilities with that land.
Basketball court.
That was discussed.
Yeah, I've included that in the way the building is laid out, and then we've worked on kind of the layout. Travis and I and stuff worked on the layout. It's going to go up driveway, and then around the side is going to be a driveway. Parking rocks, and then a rock's going to go around the back, and it's going to go around the building like that. Try to keep it clean, you know.
Yeah.
But around the back, on the back side of it, we're going to put the, Lord willing, we want to put, I've decided a half court because it's going to get
too much running.
Hoskins and Sweeney.
That's.
You can play threes.
Yeah. So that's.
You guys seem to have pretty much. You have a lot of fun on half court anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a half court's pretty big, actually.
Are you talking like the actual half court?
Yeah. It would be like 40 by 50.
That's
pretty big. That's like John's isn't even that. It's what is his is like
20 by 30 maybe.
20 by yeah. His is small, so that's like.
Something like that.
There you go.
That's more than enough.
And you know, another thing, brother, you know, regarding the land over there, and I talked with Travis, talked about this, you know, even the possibility we can do something to even provide a piece of land for a home. You know, there's room for that.
Yeah.
So there's possibilities for helping meeting needs with that land.
Yeah, we'll most definitely be in prayer for that.
Partitioning. I'm talking about partitioning a section, and you know where it's not like you're not owning that. You know what I mean? Where it's like you would own the land and your building. You know what I mean? Something like that. So when,
in a lot of places, like I saw Reggie probably about a month or so ago, we were talking about mobile homes. If you have a piece of land. Mm-hmm. You can use that as your down payment to get a mobile home, not through the bank, but through the mobile home place.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, a double wide, an expensive double wide is about $50,000. You guys, if you had a piece of land, could swing that, and then the land would be tied in with the mobile home, and it'd be like a mortgage.
I mean, these are just joyful things, God's provision, I think, you know, in the midst of sorrow, there can be joy.
Mm-hmm.
So. We can rejoice, and even you know, even temporarily meeting here was the Lord, because I came here just really grieved the other night, of course, after all of our meetings and everything, and came here, and it just happened to be the day that the addition was finished. I mean, I was thinking it was going to get finished before. The very day at the end of while we were off having the meetings, they finished the addition, and I came back, and my wife and Krissa and Faith, they had already moved everything out there, and had this whole area cleared, like we see it now. And I came in here and I was looking at this big open area and this open area right here, and I was thinking, I had the thought, I was like, we don't have any place to meet right now. And I was like, this is open. And I walk out there, and I'm like, well, that's a nice open area. And he said, well, we can meet here, Lord. You know, I was thinking that. And then I after a little while, I came out of the back bedroom. My wife asked me to come out. She asked me, she said, honey, come out here. She stood out here. She's like, look, we can meet here. You know, she shared. And I was like, really? I just had that thought, you know? And then the very next morning, Kerrigan, he emails me just humbly asking, do you think it's possible if we could meet at your house? So, obviously, that was the Lord's provision there. And the timing of it, it's just God's knowledge, you know, the timing of it, having that finish, the next, and then going and starting the project over there. I just see it as God's provision.
Amen.
It's
the only way to see it.
Yeah, it's the only way to see it. So.
So yeah, we want to continue to pray for John and his family over this situation. We also want you to accurately convey what we've conveyed to you today. so that everyone has the right understanding of what took place, and that there's no misunderstanding among your families or the fellowship or stuff like that. And like I said, just being sensitive. I mean, I'm not saying it can't be talked about in the fellowship, but when we're in the fellowship, we just need to be aware of where we are and make sure things aren't blurted out or any things that don't need to be said or said. We just need, you know, control ourselves, and the Bible tells us to do that. And so I'm just giving those warnings on that.
Yeah.
And you know, it's going to take a while to really get through this. And it's kind of like a bittersweet thing, because you know, I haven't known John as long as Kerrigan has, but I had a relationship with John too. I lived in his basement, lived in his driveway, and he's a friend of mine too. So it's hard for me as well. And like John or Kerrigan pointed out, your children and their children, you know, being friends, that's going to be hard for them. So it's just going to take some time to get through that. And we'll just continue to pray for them, and pray if Nita's still a sister, pray that she endures and wins him back over with her chaste conversation. If, you know, the children, I believe they're Christians, and they don't, like, I don't think they know what even's going on. I don't think they even understand what happened. So praying that they can endure and draw closer to the Lord through this, and we can just continue to pray for those things.
I think there might have been some kind of announcement to them, but Dan and Seth waved at me. I said, like, there was nothing wrong. And I think I saw the two of the girls crying back on where the tractor area was, outside the back door of the addition where the bathroom was. Like, I saw them crying over there yesterday. So I think there's been some kind of conversation, but you know, regarding us having a phone conversation, we're not going to do that. We're not going to talk with them unless we're calling for repentance. It's not going to be where I'm hearing from John to hear what his perspective is and hear what he has to say. He's calling us for repentance on this issue. We're cutting off Facebook communication with him, so unfriending him and blocking him as well. So there's no temptation, because his page is pretty much public. So if you just unfriended him, he didn't block him, it might be temptation to go back over there or get involved in the conversation or hear what he has to say.
Plus, if he's not blocked, he will have an opportunity to send you messages. So, and we're not going to block him as elders, because we want to keep, kind of keep tabs of what's going on.
I don't have Facebook, so. But my wife is, we've done that. So
it's not like we're not going to keep an eye on what's going on in case he does repent. But until he repents. And
well, he repents, so we'll know that.
Right.
Because he'll have to come apologize. Yeah.
Right.
But there's no way he can repent without apologizing. But right. It would help us to keep an eye on if he does start making a more public slander. Right now, he's just making, putting scripture up there that he thinks and his warp line apply to us in the situation. But if he starts like calling us out by name and saying wrong, and getting people to believe it, like I said, then we might make a video clarifying what we believe, not even mentioning John's name, not even, you know, just making sure other people understand so they're not involved in slander too. Trying to help them not to sin. They understand that what we believe, what our true beliefs are on these issues.
Yeah, because more discord can be sown.
Yeah, sure can.
Right.
It's not over yet, so it's we're not in the clear yet when it comes to that. We just need
to protect you and your families, and also to help John experience the shame of being shut off so that he could repent. I mean, that's what we believe the biblical shunning is supposed to be for.
And you know, since we're in the same area, I spoke with my wife about this, like, because you could have occasions at Walmart, you could have different things that come up, it's possibilities. And I told her, I said, I don't want you to be rude. The love doesn't behave rudely. But I don't want you to have conversation. I don't want her to be conversational. So, such as you're out at Walmart, something like that, I would be cordial. I would be kind of, hi, okay, you know, hi, and then, you know, continue about business. You know, I mean,
you're the wind reads, basically.
Yeah, but not conversational, like, hi, you know, how you doing? Then, right. You know, get into a conversational type of thing. It's there's nothing easy about this.
That's reprogramming yourself like that.
Yeah.
And you can't even call him a brother right now.
Yeah, I'm still doing that.
So it's just good story.
This morning, yeah,
so So say like if our family run into his family, it's like Nita, one of the girls or something, Daniel, Seth, what would be the best way to handle that? Because just
say hi and people go.
Yeah, that's just what I said. Because I mean, I know it's a brief answer, but that's what it needs to be. I mean, it needs to be a brief answer. I think it needs, you know, for our own state, we, you know, bitterness, John has a root of bitterness. He's one of the reasons he's self-condemned, because he has confessed himself that he's had a 3-year root of bitterness. Yeah. Okay? Wow. And so we don't want that there's any, we don't want to become defiled and not walking in love. We want to be kind, but you don't want to engage.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it's a
difficult. If they try to engage you, you just simply right. kindly tell them, I can't.
Well, show love eventually, not be welcoming to it.
Right.
So that there's a disconnect that right. it's not really loving while I'm doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's balance. I mean, we're, as elders, we're always concerned about being balanced. I mean, that's what we're always in. As a fellowship, I think that's what we're concerned about, being balanced, right? We want to be balanced. So that's what has to be in this situation.
I guess I'm trying to figure out just a way to explain to, like, my family that, you know, if you see them, because I know they're not the ones who have committed the sin.
Yeah.
Not that we know of, anyway.
Yeah. Right. But just, like, would we treat them the same as we would John, as
no,
far
as calling for repentance,
well, yeah, yes. not in that way. I think he means in the
relationship,
in the relationship.
Yeah, you have to because yeah. they're connected to him.
Okay. Yeah, how can you have a relationship with his wife and his children and not have any connection to him? Because he's connected to his wife and children, so.
And he needs a complete separation for his own good. He needs to feel the pressure from his own family to repent as well.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be happy with this.
Yeah,
Nita called my wife the day we were going to this meeting and said, hey, I found some peppers. You want to buy some for 30 cents?
Yeah. We were just planning on buying peppers.
I mean, so she had no idea. She had no idea this was going on. From what I could see, Nita, there's no way she could act like that towards my wife and know what she was doing.
One thing I know about relationships is that if you don't have the right boundaries set up, if you don't have the right definition set up, people get hurt. So if you were to have your family having a relationship with their family, and then, you know, how's it not going to come up that, well, my dad doesn't think that he's in sin? Well, my dad says this. Well, my dad says he is in sin. There's a situation where people can get hurt. Your children can get hurt, or their children can get hurt. So to protect both families, to protect them from those situations, it's better just to, like Kerrigan said, no relationship with them either. And it's just as much for their protection as our protection.
Yeah, I guess I was just trying to figure out like a way just to communicate that to my family, just to be able to tell them, like, look, we just need to completely cut communication off with them. Or just like,
I would just say, you know, I would say tell them you can be nice, but you can be nice and say, well, I don't have any issues against you, talking about his family.
Yeah.
But it's not good for us to be talking.
Are you talking about what kind of scenario you're talking about? You're talking about Walmart.
Yeah, just like say
you
we see
know
him
what
at Walmart.
Saying.
Right.
Say like we see him at Walmart and then, you know, they try to come up and talk. Because I know it will be a temptation for them to like want to talk to them and just see how they're doing, things like that.
Now you're going to be the one to set up the boundaries with your family, so that'll already be established ahead of time, so it's not like they're not going to know.
Yeah, I would let them know, but I'm trying to figure it out in my mind. Like, okay, they're not the ones who sin. So will we treat them the same way as John, not calling them to repentance, but like will we shun them as well too?
Well, that's what we're saying. You can still be kind and respectful. You can still be that.
Yeah. And still be showing them.
And still be showing
them. It's going to be awkward no matter what.
Yeah.
So there's no way to get around the awkwardness of it.
It's just not conversation. Still just don't be engaged.
Yeah.
At that point, you just have to express that, you know, we can't talk about these things right now, but have, you know, we're praying.
That's
the same thing we had instructed about, you know, running into Tina.
Yeah.
We never instructed anybody to be rude to her, you know, or, you know, anything like that. We'd be kind to say, we, you know, can't talk to this world. We're praying for you. That's kind. I mean, I think that's what the Lord wants us to be.
So,
and as awkward as it can be, it's the right thing to do.
And if John were to be persistent, like say if you're at Walmart and he's persistent, then the best thing to do is just to kindly walk away and leave.
Yeah. Don't get involved.
Even if he's rude, doesn't mean we have to respond in like kind. So it'd be like fleeing the situation. If it turns out where it's that awkward where he's just abrasive and attacking sort of thing, then the best thing to do at that point would be to leave quietly and get out of the situation.
Yeah, if he's being abrasive at Walmart's gonna notice it.
Right.
If Walmart employees, if you're not responding like him, they're gonna take care of him. They're not gonna make any sense. So you don't necessarily have to leave the store. You can just walk away from him.
But if you think it warrants that, think that he's yelling and screaming at you and he's following you around the store and you can't get away from him, and if it's that kind of situation, then
or maybe, even not yelling and screaming, but let's say, you know, he just wants to
follow you around,
talk in a very respectful way. I just want to talk about. Let's just, you know, talk about it. I'm not upset or anything like that. That could be a subtle thing too.
Yeah. Right. If he's following you,
don't be drawn into the subtleties like that.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm not talking about for John. I would like just completely disengage with him. But I'm just talking about like this as far as like Anita or any of them.
Yeah, the same thing with you. Yeah. Oh, and if you would be calling for.
But I don't think they would follow you guys around the store. I don't think they would do that.
Yeah, I'm just saying as far as like conversation, because I know Anita likes to talk.
Yeah.
And so.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
And this is an assumption, but I would at this point right now, the state that John is in, I would assume that he probably will be instructing his wife in some way.
I don't think
knowing Anita as long as I do, I don't think she's going to agree with John at all. The only person, maybe in the whole fellowship, except for some of his children, who would know John better than his wife. So she knows John's issues.
Yeah.
Very intimately. So I can imagine what's going through her mind right now. She's like wishing her husband never loved him. So, it's a pretty reasonable person. So. Yes, and that was, before we move on to a different subject, does anyone have any other questions about John or his family? How we're going to handle these things? And you don't want to make sure you tell you haven't told your families yet, only because you have to tell them tonight.
Right.
Today, because we're going to meet tomorrow. We're going to be talking under the assumption that everybody knows everything. So you need to be able to explain to them everything. That's how they come back, all that stuff.
Okay. All the
stuff. It's difficult for you, but that needs to be. Okay, so yeah, you have explained to her, and she's not understanding the idea that he could have had to come back. Okay, well, praise the Lord. That's good. Okay, so for the rest of you, have to make sure they're understanding these things. We're going to be, you know, talking as if everyone understands these things.
We're going to be praying about these things.
So, okay, to move on to a different subject, we're going to talk about Jeremy Peters. Now, we sent an email, 2 weeks ago, we resumed the conversation with him. That second conversation we had a three-hour conversation with him, we had over a four-hour conversation with him. At the end of the four-hour conversation, which we have recorded, we did everything we agreed we would do. So Tracy made a clarification video
in response to that meeting.
So Tracy made a clarification video. We sent an email to you guys clarifying. So
the statements both received made in his teaching. That Jeremy never said anything about gluten in his videos, and that he would agree with the legalism definition that Tracy gave in his videos, and he doesn't call any food necessarily sinful. Okay, if you were to eat them. But since we've done those things, and he's done nothing he's agreed to do, by the way, he said he's going to put a disclaimer on his video and put a description, a clarification description, he has not done that. What he actually is trying to say, because his videos are very roughly communicated. And so because he's been accusing Brother Tracy of new sin now, and he's, I think he's accused you of some sin, he's in the same situation. That is true sin. He's, I'm even pretty sure that him and John have been talking. Right, part of the problem. So, because some things he said. So we're going to be, we haven't announced this to Jeremy yet. His last email was no different to him. He's the same way.
Because we have emailed him since
right.
that last conversation,
right.
the four-hour conversation.
Right, he's emailed us.
At the end of that four-hour conversation.
He didn't like Brother Tracy's video.
We had agreement, and it was, we had come to mutual agreement, in order to be at peace with each other.
Yep.
And we had taken those steps. There had been email communication with him after that, and he responded very badly.
Right.
And very badly, and with lots of accusations against Brother Tracy, and then he had responded to those things. We had done everything that we said we were going to do. Then I had responded to his attacks with Brother Tracy, and with plenty of way of escape in it, just seeking to be at peace as much as it depends on us. But he would not have it at all. So
if you were to watch my legalism videos now, when it gets to certain parts of the video, an annotation will come up on the screen that says, "Please click here for an important clarification." And I put "important" in capital letters. And it's a really big box. It takes a big portion of the screen, so you can't miss it. If you watch the first video, I put it there. Because he pointed out something he misunderstood when I was talking about Elvis. He misunderstood what I was actually saying. And I looked at it and I was like, well, I can see how that could be misunderstood. So I made a clarification on that, and I put a big box that says, click here for important clarification. Then the other videos, I was talking about the movies and the food that do have quotes from his videos in them. I put the same box. And when you click on any one of those boxes in the videos, it takes you to this other video that you can watch. It's about 6 minutes long, and it clears up any miscommunication. He told me I wasn't allowed to mention his name, and I was not allowed to mention the names of videos. So I had to somehow say that I miscommunicated something in a video, but I can't tell you the name of the video, and I can't tell you the name of the person.
So very few people even understand what Tracy's talking about.
Right. So most people are not going to understand it, but that's what he wanted.
We did this to come to an agreement.
Right.
There was things on his side as well. We were coming to
right.
an agreement. It's not we were, under his authority or anything like that. It was we were trying to work towards
right.
peace. And
conversations. I mean, when we ended the conversation, I thought it was over with.
Right. And I just wanted to let you know that you can go check that out to see with the video that I made. And since, I don't know if all of you have even watched those videos that I'm referencing from. And if you haven't, I wouldn't really recommend watching them.
Jeremy's videos you're talking about.
Yeah, Jeremy's videos.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend watching them.
If you haven't watched them, I wouldn't recommend
confusing.
Watching them. It's like Kerrigan said, if you watch it, you will get the impression that it is legalism.
Yep.
The speech he uses, no discernment and other statements, saying you need to repent in sackcloth and ashes, statements like that makes it seem like, well, he's saying it's a sin if you do these.
We really stretched ourselves far to be able to come to an agreement with him.
Oh,
we really did. We were making lots of concessions and said, okay, well, he said repentance. Repentance doesn't necessarily mean repenting of sin. It can mean changing your mind. But is that what he was saying? No, I don't think that's what he was saying. But there's a possibility he's actually sort of lying to us, and he really is a legalist. But I want to assume the best of him, even though I think now he's in sin right now. He's making false accusations against Tracy and other people as well. So we did our best to come to peace with him, even though after we did come to peace, I don't think the relationship would have been the same.
No.
And but we weren't able to do it. We tried, and we thought we were at peace.
Yeah.
Then we did everything we said we were going to do, and he rejected it.
But he said that my video wasn't enough. It wasn't what he wanted, but it was everything that we agreed upon in the discussion.
There had been a change of mind on his part.
Right.
Yeah, for some reason, whatever that reason is, maybe talking to somebody, or maybe he talked to someone and decided that, you know, he gave too much in the conversation. I don't know. I think we gave a lot more than he did. Because Tracy did a video clarification. He was only willing, after we were like pulling teeth, he was willing to do a little description box.
On the drop down of a video.
Right.
How many of those description boxes do you guys read when you watch videos?
Only
we got a drop down
the date of the video.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, so most people would never even see what he does.
Yeah, but we were willing to agree with that and come to that, even and the videos and the whole idea of he was going to clarify that he doesn't really mean what, if you watch the videos, you get what he's saying. What he did is that it's clearly portraying, but he was going to make a video, make a description saying that it doesn't mean that, basically. And we were really trying to work around that.
Yes.
So it was...
Definitely wasn't ideal from our perspective. Ideal from our perspective, he'd take the video down completely and do it over again. Because they were really, really...
And make them mean what he says he's trying to mean.
We were three brothers of his, and we were close friends of his. We're not trying to assume the worst of them. We're trying to assume the best of them. So we're coming with the wrong impression of what it is. How many others come wrong with that impression? So
now we're cutting off communication with him.
Yeah,
again.
Same situation.
And we don't foresee that opening back up again unless we see repentance on his side.
But we're going to leave the video up, the clarification, because we agreed to that.
I agreed. I said whether or not
we're
you
not
do...
Go back
that. I even said this in the conversation. I was like, because I knew there was a possibility he might not do what he was saying. And I said, whether or not you do what you've agreed to do or not, I'm going to do what I've agreed to do because the reason why I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I'm doing it isn't because I feel obligated to do it by him. But I just don't want people to misunderstand me. And for me, whenever I give any kind of a teaching or any kind of a thing, I don't want to be misunderstood. And if I think that there's a possibility of being misunderstood and it's my fault that someone could be misunderstood, I want to fix it.
Yeah.
Now, if someone misunderstands and it's not my fault and they're just doing it on purpose and they're not trying to understand, that's different. But if it's a misunderstanding that could be originating from me, I want to fix it. So that was my heart in the whole thing. That's why the clarification video will remain up even though he's not going to do his side.
That's a good example, too.
Right.
I mean, that's a good example. And
that's what he should do.
We would hope that would be an example to him.
That way.
Maybe. But
He's calling me a liar. He's saying that I'm against him because of his food and I'm fat and all kinds of things. It's really bad.
Are we allowed to order shirts sometimes from the website? Or
I wouldn't do it, no.
Okay.
I wouldn't do it. Find some kind of different source. There's a source in Edmonton that you know about. I get my hats. They also do shirts. It might be a little more expensive, but you get them pretty quickly.
Kerrigan does sandwich boards. Kerrigan does sandwich boards.
Well, they don't do sandwich boards.
Oh, you don't?
No, they don't do sandwich boards.
But you turn them into sandwich boards.
Yeah, I make sandwich boards. Yeah.
Would that be...
That's a resource.
No. Joshua brought that up. I actually had that thought. Would that be... You know,
making
I mean,
shirts?
for us, we could do shirts.
Right.
But would that be something that, if it were possible for someone in the fellowship to do that, would that be something that, as of right now, that you might be able to provide some brethren with shirts and stuff like that?
There's lots of people who ask me for shirts. I always point them to preaching gear.
So, I mean, if we had something like that, you know,
definitely promoted.
We could care for the fellowship here, and there may be some other brethren that we can care for,
right.
You know. And I would even say, even maybe in a more honorable way, because there's some things that Jeremy and I've seen a progression with him, even with some of the shirts and things that he's done. That
like a two stick figure man.
I think things are getting harder and harder and harder, and now he's at a point of a hard heart, and he's expressed that to us.
Oh,
and
so
remember.
Yes.
$7.
Yeah. Yeah, I can easily, if I wanted to, I could easily make halves.
That's
nice. I mean, I can get them for $7 and then sell them for $10.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of been on my heart for years, but I've never had the ability to do it, to do screen printing. I've researched it. I know everything there is to know about doing it. I just don't have the equipment, but I haven't done it. I even got some materials in my RV where I can do like a small little screen printing on my own, just homemade screen printing. But I've actually, that's actually been something I've been wanting to do for a long time.
So if the Lord were to do something like that, if he were to provide, you know, then that could be something we could bless the body of Christ, and it could possibly provide some means for someone in the fellowship or something.
Yeah.
That's possible. Because
I've been wanting to work some shirts and I can get some Peter, so I'm kind of in a standstill right now, like I don't really know where to go.
I wonder what baseline equipment would range just for some to do some of these
things.
I
could quickly look it up again. It depends on how big you want to go. There's smaller operations. You probably just want a fairly small operation.
Just
for the shirts. I mean, there's, like I said, it's a big range. I mean, you have one where you can just make one shirt at a time. Then they got these things where you have six different stations and put six different colors of different stations.
Okay, but you're talking about screen
printing. Yeah, screen printing.
We're talking about like this.
Is that a better way to go, though?
Screen printing is better than that because that peels off.
Well, I mean, how long have I had that shirt for, brother? Couple years?
Well, maybe a year.
Well, the reason it peels off is because
I have a bunch of these.
Oh, same one. Okay.
Yeah, just so I just want to clear something up. I'm not wearing the same shirt every day.
Okay. I have noticed that. I do see you with that shirt. That's what I'm saying.
But Jeremy says that you do a double press on those.
That's what I was going to say.
You do a double press on those. They last a really long time.
Yeah.
I haven't had one shirt from him.
I've got five.
I've been ordering for years now.
I wouldn't be against doing that. I'm just saying there's a range. You don't have to go with the multi-collar station thing. You can just do with a single station, and you have to have a dryer, and have portable dryers. You have dryers you run through on a conveyor, but I think the portable dryer would be fine. And what you do is you put the screen down, you put the pattern on there, and you bring it up, and you take the dryer across it and dry it on there. Then once it's dry, you take it over and you set it to finish drying, and then you do another one. And then you do another one. And after you do like, you know, 10 or 50 or however many you're going to do, and after all of those are dried, then you switch out your screens, switch out your ink, and put in more screens.
Does it seem like more process? I was wondering if that's more process or if actually putting the vinyl, putting it on the shirts and doing all that stuff is more process.
The vinyl is less process, but I think the screen printing is higher quality and more flexible and doesn't. You don't have to care for it as much.
Of course,
much
the
as
screen printing, the professional shirts they make.
The screen printing,
it's only messy if you're not paying attention to what you're doing. But
once you make the screen, do it. Screen printing, from what I've understood, from what I've done in the past, is more on a large basis, like for a team, where you're going to make several of the same shirts over and over and over.
You can, but they actually, like I said, they make stations to where you can do several colors at the same time.
But I mean, the shirts.
And put them through.
I know you can do different colors, but the screens you have to make individually for each thing you want to
do.
Once you make the screen, the screen's good from now on. I can use that same screen over and over and over and over. So once I have the screen, I can make them over and over again. I don't have to create a new screen every time I do that pattern. Once I create a pattern that I like, I can keep those screens in stock and always have that pattern. Now with that pattern is in the computer, and you have to cut out an individual pattern every single time you do it. So there are some differences there. But I would be willing to do both. I'd be willing to do either screen printing or vinyl. But I would be wanting to do screen printing a little bit more.
A company in Townsville called Greenover Graphics.
They got to put it on the shirt.
My best friend, when we were growing up, his parents and grandparents over there. I spent lots of summers over there.
So they put it on and they have to read it.
So you've already done it.
Yeah. take the stuff off. Yeah,
so I didn't know that much about the technical part of it. Because actually, we stopped doing it when I was like 16 or 17.
Yeah, letter by letter.
I do remember him having the cut machine, even the cutting machine itself, the cutting machine itself, the cost would be perfectly lined up.
And then you're pressing, and then you're probably peeling things back.
The longer the machine is, the bigger piece of vinyl you can feed into it, the more it costs.
It's
also what the cutting blades are made out of, like whether or not they grooved all or whether or not they always stay sharp, things like that. It's important. But I'd be willing to do that. It sounds like he's got experience in it already, so I don't know if you'd be willing to join in that as well.
Yeah, I had that thought, and that's why I thought since Joshua brought that up, I actually had that thought, maybe yesterday. I had that thought, because I was actually thinking, well, we don't think getting shirts anymore.
Maybe, but also, since we're talking about this, I kind of already might have an idea in my mind about the aerial video thing. I'll talk to some of you guys about it, but it's about 90% sure that I'm going to be losing my job now. So my brother's going to be leaving the shop, and once he leaves, they're I don't know if they're going to really push to sell it or what, but they're not going to be able to afford to pay me either. So
is this the Caterpillar thing?
No, they're not. Yeah, my brother that works, with all family there, our brother has been wanting to get a new job for a while.
Okay.
And he's the main mechanic. He does pretty much all the work.
He holds it together.
Pretty much. I mean, my stepdad can do everything he does.
Okay.
But he's usually gone doing other business and stuff. Mm. So once Benny leaves, I mean, that's the main source of income.
There's not a falling out between them or something like that?
I mean, my stepdad's pretty upset that he's leaving, but we can't blame Benny for wanting to make more money, and my parents can't make more money right now. So they're
talking about shutting down.
Yeah, they can't shut down. You're gonna have to do something. But I'm an extra, however much money a week I'm making, they're gonna be out. I mean, obviously the work that I do, I definitely pay for my checks. But and they're looking at it now with Benny leaving. It's gonna be really hard to. I'm not upset about it. I'm kind of excited, to be honest with you, to do something different.
Because you had been thinking about this.
Yeah, I've been.
A while back.
I mean, I enjoy, and that's, I've dedicated my adult life to doing parts, so I'm sure I would have no trouble finding a job in a parts setting, but to make any money out, I'm going to have to commute somewhere like Bowling Green or something to work at Cap or Case.
That'd be an easy commute if you came from where I'm from.
Yeah.
What kind of, what kind of a range are you looking for to work?
My father-in-law is really wanting to do, he's in the helicopter service with the lines and stuff.
You're talking about that, yeah.
Yeah, aerial, the drone surveying the lines is really, we're really talking more about it. So ideally that would work out because that's a lot of money.
Right.
And something that I'm really interested in doing that, So we're going to talk about it actually today, I think.
There's an investment in it. You have to be certified, right?
Yeah.
How long is that going
to
take?
Well, usually they're saying since it's just starting, it takes like 6 to 8 months, but he can expedite the process like 2 months with the help of his pilots that he knows. And he's actually already got the ball rolling on that.
Is your job going to last 4 months?
I don't know. If not, there's something I'm going to have to do in the meantime, and that's fine. I don't mind sitting to work at a factory if I have to or something.
Well, if you need a temporary job, Sumitomo, they hire pretty regularly.
It's only
$9 an hour,
yeah.
But it's one of those take it or leave it jobs. You can do it for a while, and then whenever you get something better, you can leave it.
Yeah.
Well, they just fired like 11 temporaries.
They fired them? Is it because of their own actions or because they don't need them?
Because of their own actions. Because 11 of them got more than 2 points within a month.
Yeah, so they're always hiring people. That's something you do temporarily?
Yeah, a month.
I have some questions about that aerial photography thing. So I remember you said before you need 2 people on a crew.
Yeah.
What kind of hours would that be?
I don't even know all the details of it yet. And the reason my father-in-law is helping us is because he wants Alex to be included in it for now. He's the second person as of now.
Right.
But It's one of those things, I think, where we're going to have to go and write a contract for each job, like however many miles of line they want to do or whatever. I don't.
Would it be possible to have like a second team?
Yeah, and we were thinking that already. If, you know, if we make as much money as they say you can make doing this, we're going to be able to buy a second piece of equipment quickly.
Right. Now, is it something that could be done part-time, or does it require like a full-time?
Well, I suppose you could do it pretty much whenever you wanted, but, you know, you're going to want to get the jobs as they come in. Or
right,
if not,
right.
If you let them pass up, they're going to get them
what,
somebody
what exactly
else.
Is it?
It's power line surveys. So each year, the owners of these power lines have to get them surveyed, like the transformers and those windfalls, and all they have to check that. And of course, you drive by telephone poles all the time. A lot of them you can get to on foot, but there's a lot of them you also can't get to.
Rural areas, so they're talking about helicopters.
Like swamps and mountains, you know. People, it would cost a fortune for them to pay somebody to go in there and do that.
Yeah.
So they're having to pay helicopter pilots and survey team like $1,000 an hour. So people are taking these drones now, like quadcopters and hexacopters and stuff like that, with cameras attached to them, and they're doing it for like $400 an hour. So, the line
so this would be a remote control type thing.
The line companies are like, man, $400 an hour, I'm getting a deal. You know.
Would you be the remote control guy?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I didn't even
need to be a kid all day long.
Yeah. Nice. I didn't even want two people, one flying and one videoing, because you don't want two.
How expensive is the thing if you crash
well,
it?
Well, I mean, they range from $500 to $15,000.
That's what I was meant to do.